Bible, coming to the men's prayer group, I was walking from my house to the car and got a call in at 6:12, and he had passed at 6:10. And so I spent the rest of the evening over there with them, waiting for the service to come and being there. And so, you know, that's always sort of surreal thing to be when someone passes at home, particularly doesn't happen that often, and so helping the daughters and the wife and everything while we're waiting for them to come pick him up, and so it's that's always an interesting thing, and so we'll be praying for them today, and they're going to do their service here on May 1st, that Sunday afternoon, and so you know, be praying for them. But it was a good week, you know, with the baby and everything. And I have to tell you, and I can share this to you later, I'm proud of the kids and how they did, and proud of Tim and how he's handling the baby and everything. And then he sent me a picture this morning. Tracy actually sent me the picture of little Mackenzie, and she's wearing an outfit that says, "Start 'em young, raise 'em right, Ohio State." So, you know, starting early. So anyway, let's pray and we'll start. We'll look at our scripture this morning. Father God, you know, a lot of stuff going on this week, and we go around and share, and a lot of stuff happening, and you're at work in so many different ways. And you know, we work with Ricardo and protecting him and that injury, and with Jen and her upcoming surgery, and with Sherry and her upcoming surgery, with the kids and the baby, and there's so many different ways that you're involved in our lives when we're willing to do that. Even someone walking up to Jerry and asking if he knows, if he believes in God. You know, Father, we get so focused on the circumstances that sometimes we miss the fact that in the midst of all, whatever the circumstances in our lives, you are at work. And to hear how people help and step into our lives when we have needs and give us grace, you know, reminds us that you're walking with us, and that you have our back, and you're there to protect and to provide, and we're dependent upon that more than we think. And we just want to thank you. That was so evident today as people shared. Just you're at work at the oddest times, at the tough times, and in the good times to just provide and to make sure that the grace that we need is given and received. And we want to thank you for that. And we just ask your grace and blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're in Luke chapter 6, and we're coming sort of to the end of Luke's rendition of the Sermon on the Mount. And every good speaker knows the power of word pictures, you know. Because it allows us to illustrate a truth by drawing an analogy and something that people understand. And we use these all the time. You know, you get a new car, you say that ride is as smooth as silk. You know, everybody gets that. Everybody knows what that means, you know. Or at a time of crisis, you might think, you know, it says it feels like you were hit by a Mack truck, you know. I really never get that, but I don't get that, because if you were hit by a Mack truck, what you would be feeling was the warm embrace of Jesus, you know. but anyway, we get that idea. And Jesus was better at word pictures. He just called them parables. But he was better at word pictures than anyone. He was a master of it. And so we've gone through this little teaching section where he goes through embracing what the world despises in the Beatitudes, and then in those things, and resisting the things the world cherishes, and going through the woes, and loving those the world tells us to cast aside, and accepting rather than judging. He's just gone through all of these principles. Now, as he gets to the end of that, basically he draws five pictures. It's like he's got his point, he's made all the points he wants to make, and now he wants to sort of cap it all off, and he does it by painting or by telling five word pictures. And a lot of them are related to each other, but he just goes through this, you know, word pictures. Some of them are really short, some are a little more involved. But with the word pictures, he's helping them get and understand and apply the truth they have learned. So the first two word pictures illustrate the same point. but we'll look at them. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? And then he says, a student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Those are pretty blunt pictures. Everybody gets that. You know, everybody gets it. It's sort of like crossing Soledad, and you see somebody with a white cane, and you see somebody else with a white cane come up and try to lead them. You know, could get rather dangerous. You know, and we sort of, you know, the person is no better off. You know, the person is no better off, and we sort of get that. But what is he talking about? Well, he has just finished this marvelous teaching section, you know, that in Matthew calls it the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke, we'll call it the Sermon on the Plain, because it doesn't say anything about being on the mountains. But he's illustrated all of those things. And then he says, can the blind lead the blind? What does that have to do with anything he said? Okay. It doesn't have anything to do with any specific thing that he has said, with the exception of this. All through the Sermon on the Mount, and all through this, he has been comparing what the religious leaders and the scribes and the Pharisees were teaching and the world was teaching with what he was saying. So the point of the blind man picture isn't any specific truth. He's saying, if you're listening to those guys, it's like the blind leading the blind. If you're listening to the leaders of the day and the world philosophies and the world view and to saying to them, if you're listening to the Jewish scholars and, you know, and what they say, instead of listening to me, it's like the blind leading the blind. You know, this week I did a couple of funerals, and families are always really nice. And this one girl, her dad had, you know, he had come to the Lord, but she hadn't, so she was, you know, wanted to be reflective of that. But at the same time, she says, In this is while I'm talking on the phone, in the message, in what you say, do you have any quotes that aren't from the Bible? I thought to myself, yeah, but they don't do any good. But, you know, I said, well, yeah, I have some, you know. And so, I was able to say things like Helen Keller said, that which you have enjoyed and love deeply will never leave you, because if you have loved deeply, it is part of you. You know, and so that's what you're doing, you're showing love. I even quoted Lord of the Rings. Because in Lord of the Rings, in the last story, The Return of the King, the wizard is talking about, you know, I literally told them, though, I'm going to quote this. I said, I'm going to quote J.R.R. Tolkien, who wrote Lord of the Rings. I'm going to quote the movie Lord of the Rings and the book. I said, don't you understand, Tolkien was like C.S. Lewis. He was a Christian theologian, and he's talking about the returning king and all the grief he had suffered. He had gone through so much. And what he said was this. He will not allow this grief he feels to destroy his heart. Instead, he will allow this grief that he has experienced to give him wisdom. And then turn that right back around and go right back into Scripture. You know, but you're sitting there going, how can I, you know, sure, I can come up with all kinds of quotes about death from a lot of people, but that doesn't help. It's the blind leading the blind. So you sort of see his point, you know. Then he follows that up with the second, which has a similar thing. A student is not above his teacher. But when he is fully trained, you know, he's equal to his teacher. That's the second picture. In Jesus' day, the teacher, the rabbi, had his disciples. his disciples, every rabbi had his disciples, and those who were his close disciples lived with him. They took care, made sure the rabbi had plenty to eat. They took care of the rabbi. They learned from him, and they accepted all of his wisdom. And you know, and secular Jewish wisdom of the day was quoting Rabbi Hillel, Rabbi Gamaliel, Rabbi, you know, and they would quote, they would learn from their rabbis. And he says, and if that rabbi taught you well, you learned everything he knew. But do you get the connection? You're only as good as your teacher. So if your teacher is blind, spiritually speaking, you can learn everything you can from your teacher and still not be ahead. You know, and that's sort of a, you know, we sort of get that. You know, if your teacher's not very good, you know, you're going to be limited to what you can, what you're going to learn. Or if your teacher is teaching something that is wrong, you know, I think of, you know, the modern university experience in our country is has gone from, you know, in 100 years we've gone from teaching teaching Latin and Greek in high school to teaching remedial English in college while giving them some extreme liberal brainwashing. You know, it's a big difference. If your teacher is wrong, what you learn is wrong. The student is only going to be as good as his teacher, related to the blind leading the blind. Now, we look at this now, we have to sort of figure this out. When those people heard this, they knew exactly what he was talking about. In fact, you can just almost picture, because there was always scribes and Pharisees, religious leaders here listening to him. You can almost picture, you know, the 12 apostles. You know, Jesus says the blind leading the blind, the teachers, you know, and they all look at these guys. They all turn and look at those, you know, those religious leaders who were, you know, they knew exactly what they were talking about. Now, we have to stop and think this out. You know, he's talking about worldly leaders. He's talking about, you know, secular teaching or religiously teaching that is wrong. He says, you're only going to be as good as your teacher. Oh, he just insulted them. You wonder why, you know, why did they hate him so much? You know, so have you not read the Sermon on the Mount? You know, read John. You know, John really, from page one, shows that Jesus was in their face. They hated him because he was constantly saying, hey, you can listen to these guys, they're dead and blind, or you can listen to me. You know, I mean, that's what he was doing from day one. They wanted to hear what he was saying, you know. So a good teacher makes all the difference in the world. So we have to be very discerning. Hopefully, you know, Being a pastor and a teacher, you have to believe what you're doing is right and okay. Okay? But I'm not the ultimate judge of that. Okay? I believe when it comes to Scripture, you have the ultimate responsibility. You know, to not say, not take anything I say as gospel truth unless that's what the gospel says. I'm a firm believer in question everything and read your scripture and verify it yourself. You know, and don't take anything I say without verifying it in scripture. Having said that, don't take any disembodied voice you hear on the radio. Or any, yeah, anything that comes out of the television on somebody's big show, what they say either. Okay? You have the ultimate responsibility because you have the Word of God in your hand. There's a difference between preaching Scripture and preaching your opinion about Scripture. There's a difference between using Scripture to back up Scripture and using other things to back up Scripture. There's a difference, and using the Scriptures appropriately. And the only way you can tell that is to look it up and read it for yourself, you know, and try to do that. Or to look at are they giving the whole thing? They're giving you the whole picture, everything, the whole counsel of God on this, or are they just giving their particular view of it, you know, and understand that. And if you don't do that, if you don't understand that, that can really get things messed up, you know. And I'm no better or worse at this than anybody else, okay? Because I'm teaching how I see it, you know, trying to see it as honestly as I can from the Scripture. But at the same time, you know, it's why I don't particularly spend any time in Revelation. Because everybody comes to Revelation with an idea that this is what it means, and I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say, well, it could mean that, but it could mean this, and it could mean that. And you have to choose and believe what you want, but we don't know. We don't know. And then people throw things. Because they don't agree with late great planet Earth, and they don't agree with this guy or that guy. I'm not going to agree with them, because they're saying with finality what we don't know with finality. And they're not honest enough to say that. Okay, and that's the thing. So, the idea is, with me or anybody else, check it out. Don't let me or anybody else do your thinking for you. Yeah, it's like the internet. You can't believe everything. You know, just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's true, you know. Yeah. 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 And yeah. Yeah. And the assumptions that are made are incorrect. You know, and yet they're being taught as truth. And so. Yeah. So, you know, the student isn't going to get beyond their teacher. In Jesus' day, all that you ever learned came from a person, one person. Okay. The advantage we have today is every one of you have a Bible. And the idea is, let the Scripture and God be your teacher. Okay. You're ultimately responsible for that. I'm responsible for what I learn. I'm responsible for what I teach. I get that. That's why it says teachers come under a heavy judgment. Because we can mess this up, you know. And you know. And I remember a preacher who was working in the inner city. Back east. And he walked the streets of the inner city. And he reached out and he helped people. And he saw needs and he met those needs. And he loved them and he cared for them and he took care of them. And it was absolutely wonderful what he did. And he began to get national recognition. His final national recognition was in the killing fields of Ghana, where he took all those people, Jim Jones, and they all committed suicide. Somewhere along the line, he got off track. And nobody said, hey, Jim, that's not what this says. Don't blindly follow anybody but Jesus. Okay? And that's so important. And I don't particularly think that is being said enough, you know, but it does. So Jesus starts off with these two word pictures. Can the blind lead the blind? Those guys, you know. I mean, you can just see that. You got to get that picture. Can the blind lead the blind, like these idiots, you know? Because you're not going to be any better than your teacher. You know? Don't picture Jesus sort of standing blandly saying this. He's in their face. This is about the religious leaders and the scribes and what they were teaching the people. And he's, you know, the student's not going to be above his teacher. And if these are guys what you're learning from, you're in trouble. Okay? So you got to get that. So then he turns back and with a chuckle does his next picture. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take that speck out of your eye," when you yourself feel to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, then you'll be able to see clearly to move the speck from your eye. I think he's looking at these wise guys, you know. These guys are looking at you and picking apart your life, and they got two befores coming out of their heads. You got to understand. Jesus knew how to use even irony and even sarcasm with surgical precision. And you need to understand, those people laughed just like you did. Because those religious guys were sitting right there. So he's not just sort of, you know, gentle Jesus, Mike and mild, yo, don't take the speck out of your brother's. You know, this is all about those guys. You know? These guys are taking your life apart, and yet they're full of flaws. They're trying to take the speck out of your eyes, and they got two befores in their heads. Don't listen. That's a powerful picture. You know. Then he goes on, another picture. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil out of the good things stored up in his evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. If these guys weren't ready to kill him then, you get what he's doing? I mean, all this is pointed at those guys. Yeah, you judge a tree by its fruit, and a good tree has good fruit, and a bad tree has bad fruit, you know. Because out of the goodness of a man's heart he speaks, and out of the evil of a man's heart he speaks, and you can tell the difference. Did you hear what he just said to those guys? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. I mean, there's a lot of wisdom there. I mean, when you think about what he said, you can sort of spiritualize this and make it really nice. You know, out of the goodness of a man's heart, a good man, good things come out, an evil man. But that's not the good, nice teaching about that isn't the context here. The context here is these guys are trying to take the specks out of your eyes with planks in their own eyes. You know, look at their fruit. A good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree gets bad fruit. What kind of fruit are these guys bearing? Out of the good heart, good comes. Out of the evil heart, evil comes. In my mind, picture Jesus is out of the evil heart. If you see that, now we're getting somewhere in the context of what's happening. You know? Whoa. Yeah. They couldn't take him down yet, and they couldn't react because there's a crowd of people there. But there was a little bit of an attack, you know. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, you know. You can always, in the end, it's the heart that makes the difference, you know. It's the heart that makes the difference. I mean, we all have bad days. I get that. He's not talking about having a bad day and goofing up. He's talking about things like the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and all of those things. He says, that's the good heart. He says, you have a good heart, you can have an evil heart. Out of the heart is going to come your life, you know. And we learn about that and we get that. And if we get that, we're okay. If we can understand that and, it's a good teaching just by itself there. But the context is still attacking. Now, very quickly, the final picture is the two builders, you know, because he says, and you have to understand this, again, who is he looking at? I don't think he's looking at Pete and Jimmy and Johnny and, you know, those guys. I think he's looking at these religious leaders and he's going, why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? You think he's talking to Pete when he does that? I don't think so. I think he's talking to those religious leaders, you know. You know, I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He's like a man who builds his house upon the rock. And when the storm comes, that house stands. So if you want to be like these guys, you're building your house upon the sand. And when the storm comes, that house is destroyed. See the context of it? It's all context here. It's everything is context. He says, man who hears my words and doesn't put them into practice is like the man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. And the moment the torrent strikes that house, it collapses. Destruction is complete. It's totally obliterated. Can you just imagine what those guys were thinking? You know, the thicker ones are looking at each other and going, is he talking about us? The smart ones are seething. When you read quickly in the Gospels, they wanted him dead early on. Why? Because of this. This is what Jesus did. This is what he said. Those guys were doing so much evil that he would teach all this great truth, but he would say, hey, you know, you're going to have to choose. You're going to follow me, you're going to follow them. You know? Hear people say, well, you know, I read Jesus never said he was God, never said we could. Yes, he did. You know? Look at what he said here. Blind following the blind, the teacher, you know, the fruit. I mean, all of these pictures, believe me, those people got the picture. And the scribes and the Pharisees got the picture too. That's why they hated him so much. Because so many times, if we don't deal with this right, we get to the end of the story and suddenly these guys want Jesus dead. Oh, they were threatened by his power. No, they wanted him dead from the word go, because he was in their face, because they were doing such evil from the word go. And his death, his arrest, and death and resurrection is accumulation of 3 years of this. See, Jesus was meek and mild when he was standing before Pilate. He was not meek and mild when he was standing before these guys. He was up front. Wow. The power of a word picture.
This transports me to some time, actually. It was probably, I don't really know, late 70s, early 80s. God's Film was a stage play with all the parables. And I can remember the young child seeing that, and it just brought it all to life for me. I had my piano teacher at the time, her church, did the full drama production, and I can see it very vividly still on the stage. Then actually, these were some of the exact parables.
Yeah. Yeah, if you can get, you know, word pictures convey such truth. But even word pictures have context. Now read through this. And the problem we have is we read through it, we don't remember the context. Context is the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard it said, you have heard these guys say, I'm telling you this. You've heard these guys say, I'm telling you this. You've heard these guys say, I'm telling you this. Can the blind lead the blind? Student's not going to be better than his teacher. You got to look at them by their fruit, out of the good heart or the evil heart. I mean, you got to see that if we're really going to get the impact of what he said. Because it impacted the apostles, it impacted his followers, it impacted the curious, and it definitely impacted those he was talking about. So, okay. It's all context. Okay. And I'll be honest enough to say, I don't know that everybody even sees it that way. You know, but context is everything. How you understand something is always how the context you find it in. The context of these word pictures do not stand alone. They stand in the context of this comparison of what they said versus what he said. It was all a comparison of what they said versus what he said. The context is blind, bad teachers, bad hearts, bad fruit, built on with no foundation. That's the context. If we get that, then we get that good picture. That's, we get the point I think Jesus was making. Now I'll say that. That's the point I think he was making. But again, read it for yourself. But read the whole lesson. Read the whole Sermon on the Mount. Read the whole little chapter 6, 5 and 6 of Luke. Read that whole thing together. Put it all together. Remember who's there. Father, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for giving us such a gutsy Jesus, who even sometimes with laughter in his word pictures, he stood against evil and brought the attention of people to God and his word. There's so much for us to learn there. Not just what did Jesus say, but how he said it, who he said it to, where did he say it? You know, those things carry such meaning and can even change how we see it. Give us wisdom. Help us each to look at this word, asking for wisdom and guidance that we might learn from you. And we just thank you for that and for your spirit. In Jesus' name.